And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. Whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have to meditate in the Word of God, and we just pray, Lord, as we think on these passages, that we might be challenged to live for you. We pray, Lord, that we might be growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ and more like our Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been looking at the subject of abiding in Christ and all the different aspects of that relationship. And now in this section, Paul is speaking really about the same subject. He uses slightly different terminology, but he's speaking about the very same subject. Whether that branch is abiding in the vine and is therefore spiritual, or whether that branch is not abiding in the vine and therefore is carnal. If you're saved, you're one or the other. If you're born again, you're either a spiritual believer abiding in the vine, or you're a carnal believer, and sin has interrupted your communion and fellowship with the Savior. We want to consider this question today, and maybe we could each answer it to ourselves. What kind of a Christian are we right now? First of all, we want to note that every single Christian has exactly the same salvation. Exactly the same position. Remember we began studying our position in Christ? If we're born again, we all are in Christ. That's forever. That's immutable. That's unchangeable. If we're born again, we're sons of God. And how did Paul begin the letter to the church at Corinth? With all of their carnality, Paul addresses them as saints. Those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. They have the righteousness of God. They are new creations in Christ Jesus. They have their sins forgiven. They're redeemed in Christ Jesus. They are accepted in the Beloved. And there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So as Paul addresses the church at Corinth, knowing full well that some of the believers there were spiritual and some of the believers were carnal, yet they were all believers. They were all born-again people. And yet the condition of their life was very different. You know, these truths about our position in Christ are true of every one of us here as well, if we're born again. Jesus Christ delivered us from our position being in Adam, in his sin, and in his condemnation, and salvation places us in Christ and in his righteousness. And this position is ours not because we earned it. It's ours not because of any human effort or merit on our part. It's ours because of God's grace and God's grace alone. And every single genuinely born-again person is an equal possessor of all of these wondrous blessings in Christ Jesus. It relies totally on God's faithfulness to us. And it has nothing to do with our faithfulness to God. And that's why at the church at Corinth, there were some who were spiritually minded and faithful to the Lord. There were other Christians who were carnally minded and were not faithful to God, but they were all saints. They were all born again and redeemed and accepted in the Beloved. And that's how Paul addresses them in this epistle. And yet, as Paul begins in chapter 3, he acknowledges that he couldn't speak to them the way he wanted to. And he says, because they were babes in Christ. They were carnal. And this word carnal means pertaining to the flesh. It means having that fleshly nature, sensual, controlled by senses and animal appetites and feelings, just in the same sense that an animal is controlled by physical things. Now, this carnal man is born again. He is in Christ. Notice Paul says that you were babes in Christ. They were in Christ by faith. They were born again, but yet they were still carnal. They were being motivated. They were operating by their old nature, their fallen, sinful human nature. They were not being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so that carnal believer is like a branch in the vine, but he's broken off. He's genuinely part of that vine. He's part of God's family because he's saved, but yet he's broken off. The communion, the fellowship with the Lord has been interrupted by some kind of sin, and therefore he's off on his own. And instead of producing the fruit of the Spirit, which is the result of abiding in Christ, he's going to produce nothing but the fruit of the flesh, carnality. Now, Paul gives us some signs of carnality in this chapter. In verse 1, he says that they were babes in Christ. The first sign of carnality here is immaturity. They were acting like babies spiritually. Now, there's nothing wrong with a baby acting like a baby. Babies are supposed to act like babies. But the problem in Corinth was they had been saved for a long time, and they should not have been acting like babies. The fact that they were still acting like babies was a sign to Paul that they weren't abiding in Christ. They were like that branch broken off. The carnal nature was in control. And secondly, he says in verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, and neither yet now are you able. The second sign of carnality here is that they were not able to bear the meat of God's word. Paul had to feed them with a bottle, so to speak. He had to give them the ABCs, and they should have been progressing, but they weren't because they were carnal. You see, these believers were not able to digest the meat of God's word. Because their minds and their hearts were not filled with spiritual things. Their minds and their hearts were filled with the things of the world. They were filled with the things of themselves. And they were not focused on Christ and spiritual things. And therefore, when Paul was preaching, it went right over their head. They couldn't get it. They couldn't grasp it. Because the carnal nature was in control. The third telltale sign of carnality is found in verse 3. He says, for ye are yet carnal, and here's how I know. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are ye not carnal? The fact that they were envious and fighting and there was strife and division among them indicated to Paul that some in that church were not yielded to Christ. They were carnal. They were operating in the power of the flesh. This is just how the flesh operates. The flesh is not Christ is my life. The flesh says self is my life. And when self is your life, then sure you're going to be envious of others. Sure there are going to be divisions because I didn't get my way. I want everything to be run my way. That's the way self operates. And there were divisions in the church. And thirdly, notice at the end of verse 3, Paul knew that these men were carnal because they were walking as men. Now, he doesn't mean human beings. Of course, they were walking like human beings. He means that they were walking like unsaved men. They were acting just like the men in the world. Yes, they were born again. Yes, they had a new nature. But no, they were not yielded to Christ. They were not submitted to Him. And they were like that branch broken apart from the vine. And it can produce nothing good on its own. It's going to behave just like an unsaved man. And so we see in verse 4, for while one say, well, I'm of Paul. And another says, well, I'm of Apollos. They were polarizing around men. They were taking sides. I'm of Paul, and they thought they were so spiritual. And why I like Apollos, he's a really good speaker. I'm on his side. And they began polarizing. That was an indication that carnality was at work here. This was not the work of the Spirit of God. This was not the result of spiritual growth and maturity. It was the result of immaturity in the flesh. Remember, Paul says that in the flesh dwells no good thing. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul was rebuking this church. He was rebuking them because they were carnal. It was their fault that they were carnal. Now, carnality, or being motivated by the old nature, the fleshly nature, the sin nature, is not a permanent state. These believers should have been filled with the Spirit. They should have been Christ-centered, but they were not. They were motivated and operating in the power of the flesh. And they were to blame, Paul says, because they were supposed to yield. That's it. They were to yield to God. They were to surrender to God. They were to be servants of the Lord. And they said, no, I don't want Christ ruling in my life. I don't want to be submitted to Him. I want to do things my way. And so when Paul speaks about these carnal believers, it stunts their growth. Carnality prevents us from growing. Just like that branch broken away from the vine, it's not going to grow and be strong and produce fruit. It's going to wither. You know, in the physical realm, if a child is born retarded and isn't able to grow and mature mentally and emotionally and socially and all the rest, that's through no fault of his own. Paul says these folks in Corinth were retarded spiritually. They should have been mature, but they were still babies spiritually. And he said it was their fault. It was a result of a refusal to yield and surrender to the Lord. And notice what the dangerous situation they're in verse 2. Paul says, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. And right now, you're still not able to bear it. Paul wanted to feed them what they really needed. What they really needed was to grow up and to be strong in the Lord and to be fed the meat from God's Word. And Paul says, I've got plenty of meat to feed you, but you're not able to digest it because of your carnal condition. All you can take in is milk, just enough to keep yourself alive. These were like branches broken apart from the vine. The vine had all the resources those branches needed. It had all the power of the Spirit of God. It had all the life. It had all the nutrients. It had all the resources the branch could ever need. But as long as it's broken away, it's unable to take advantage of, it's unable to appropriate all that Christ has for us. Sin separates us from our Savior. And this carnality at the church was a matter of sin. They were to be blamed for their carnality. Until that carnal believer repents, until that carnal believer turns to Christ and comes back, confesses his sin, and abides in the Lord, no amount of spiritual truth will ever get through. And that's the danger. Now, look, in 1 Corinthians 3, we had Paul. Paul, the apostle of Christ. And he had some truth he wanted to communicate to them. Here was a man of God chosen by Christ himself, sent to deliver a message to these folks. It's exactly what they needed to grow and be strong, but they couldn't digest it. They couldn't take it in. They couldn't bear it. And that's a very dangerous position to be in. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. In verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. The writer of Hebrews had many things he wanted to communicate to his readers. Many wonderful truths that they really needed to grasp. They really needed to latch on to so they could grow spiritually. He says, but I couldn't do it. You had become dull of hearing. They were once sharp spiritually. They were once on the ball spiritually. They were once filled with the Holy Spirit. They were once growing and maturing like a branch in the vine. But gradually they had broken away and now they had become dull. Doesn't mean they were stupid. Doesn't mean they lacked intelligence to grasp these truths. It means their hearts had become insensitive. Their hearts had become hardened to the truth, and they just weren't able to take it in. And they were becoming withered spiritually. You see, in this condition, the only thing that's going to control their mind, their heart, their will is the old fleshly nature. Their attitude is going to be an attitude of the flesh. Their actions, their words are all going to be manifestations of the old fleshly nature. They're just unable to take in God's message, no matter how well Paul or the writer of Hebrews presented it to them. They just couldn't bear truth. You know, in that condition, the church at Corinth, was very much like Israel when they left Egypt. They left Egypt as a redeemed people. They left Egypt, the blood was shed, and they left as a nation redeemed by God. And yet, even though they were redeemed, guess what came with them? A mixed multitude. While many of the Jews left Egypt, they took some of Egypt with them in their hearts. There was still that Egyptian influence in the people of God. And what a trouble that created among the Jews. It resulted in them wandering in the wilderness for so many years when they could have entered into the promised land. The longer one remains in the condition of carnality, the more damage is done to the individual life and to the local church. The believers at Corinth were carnal. And maybe they remained busy in the works of the Lord, but without a proper relationship to Christ, all was wood, hay, and stubble. It was useless. It was rotten fruit. They may have many wonderful spiritual gifts. Remember how Paul introduced the book of 1 Corinthians? He said, "You come behind in no spiritual gift." They weren't lacking in talent. Why, they had men who could speak in languages they'd never learned before. They had prophets receiving direct communication from God in that church. All kinds of spiritual gifts, and yet they were carnal. And apart from abiding in Christ and abiding in his love, all of their spiritual talents were nothing but sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. You see, the carnal Corinthians had not turned away from the church. But they had turned away from the Lord. They had turned away from the vine. They weren't out in the bar rooms getting drunk. They were in church. But no matter how active and busy they were in the Lord's work, everything that they did was the works of the flesh, wood, hay, and stubble. None of it was acceptable in God's sight because their heart relationship to Christ wasn't what it should be. And the dangerous part is this, that we can never ever progress one inch spiritually. We can never ever grow into Christ's likeness at all apart from abiding in Him, apart from a heart that's yielded and surrendered and obedient to Him. And as long as that believer remains carnal, they are doomed to perpetual immaturity. And that was the danger in the church at Corinth. Now let's consider the relationship for a minute between carnality and immaturity. They're not equal. Remember what Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? He addressed them as babes in Christ. Now all new believers are babes in Christ. There's nothing wrong with being a babe in Christ. If you've been saved recently, then thank God you're a babe in Christ. You're in Him. That's what counts. There's nothing wrong with a new believer being immature. Immaturity is expected of someone who's only recently been born into God's family. That new believer hasn't got a clue about the spiritual warfare of the world, the flesh, and the devil. He's just happy to be alive in Jesus, and that's a wonderful thing. But he's ignorant about Scripture, and that's to be expected. We don't expect a little baby to be born into the world already knowing how to walk, already knowing how to read and write. It takes time to grow and to learn. And the same thing is true in the Christian life as well. Immaturity is expected from a newborn. But Paul was rebuking the Corinthians for their immature condition. And the reason he was rebuking them was because a lot of time had gone by. And it was wrong for them now to be still babes in Christ. They should have been growing. You know, a babe in Christ can be spiritual. A baby born can be healthy. And so, too, a baby born into the spiritual realm can be spiritual. And that's the norm. A new Christian can have a heart yielded to Christ and obedient, ignorant of doctrine maybe, but a heart that's yielded to Christ, and that newborn babe is totally spiritual and in a position where he's going to grow and mature. The heart is the whole issue. Now, we expect that newborn babe to be a babe in Christ. But here in Corinth, the fact that these individuals were still babes in Christ was an indication to Paul that they weren't walking with the Lord. They were still carnal. You expect a one-year-old baby to drink a bottle and wear diapers. When your baby is 20 years old and he does the same, you get a problem on your hands. That's not normal behavior for a 20-year-old. And this is what Paul was dealing with at Corinth. These were born-again people who should have grown, they should have matured in the Lord, but they were still babies. You know, God expects a branch on the vine to remain on the vine. That branch remains, it abides, it continues on the vine. It stays close to Christ. It's dependent on Christ. It's yielded to Christ. It's surrendered to Him. And with that kind of a heart attitude, growth is the natural product. As we abide in Him, growth takes place. Slowly, naturally, but faithfully and regularly and consistently. And over time, the branch that abides in Christ is going to mature. That's just a normal process. If you have a little baby, you feed him, you take care of him, you clean him, you give him all the nutrients that he needs and the exercise, he's going to grow. He's not going to stay a baby. That's just the way God made it. And the same thing is true in the spiritual life. Maturity is a process. It takes the rest of our lives to become like Jesus and to grow to be like Him. And that growth process is never going to take place unless or until we come to the vine, to the place where we rest in Him and we are surrendered to His will. When that branch breaks away from the vine, every moment it's away from the vine is time wasted. No growth will ever take place. In fact, just the opposite of growth will take place. When the branch is away from the vine, it's going to wither. And Peter wrote in his second epistle, and he said, if we're not faithful, adding to our faith kindness and brotherly love and all these other virtues, if we're not busy and active and yielded to the Lord and producing fruit, you know what's going to happen? We're going to become barren and unfruitful, and we may even get to the point where we've forgotten that we were purged from our old sins. A Christian might forget what Christ has done for him. He might forget the glories of our salvation and wither spiritually. But yet when we abide in the vine, when we stay close to the Lord and we remain there, we're going to grow. You know what the whole key to spiritual growth is? Consistency. That's what abide means. Continue. Remain. We're to come to Christ, surrender to Him, and just stay that way. And don't let anything take us out of that position, that condition. Growth takes place when we abide in Him. When we just dwell in His love, we're resting and enjoying all the glories that we have in Christ. And growth takes place when we rest our roots where we've been planted. When God saved us, He planted us in Christ. That's our position. And He wants us to remain there, to abide there, to enjoy that and not to flip-flop back. One day I'm resting in the vine, the next day I'm lured out into the world. The next day I'm resting in the Lord, and the next day I'm back out in the world again. It's only as we abide in Christ and soak in daily, moment by moment, all the riches of this communion and the relationship that we have with Him that growth takes place. And as we abide in Him, no matter what storm comes our way, we're firm. We're solid. We're abiding in Him, and nothing can shake us. I'm convinced that inconsistency is the ruin of many believers. Try it with a tomato plant. Grow a tomato plant, a couple in your garden, right in the middle where it gets all the sunshine, give it all the fertilizer, all the moisture that it needs, and take great care of it. One plant here, and then take another tomato plant right next to it. And every week, transplant it. Every week, pull it up by its roots and put it in a different spot. And at the end of the season, see which one is growing. See which one has become big and strong. Yes, the tomato plant that's been pulled up and transplanted will still live. You can keep transplanting it, but it's going to take time each time for it to grow its roots down into the ground and get settled before it can start growing. And exactly the same thing happens in the Christian life. It is the believer who stays put, who abides, who continues, who remains in Christ that is going to experience slow, steady, consistent spiritual growth. You know, God gives us lots of reasons in the Bible why some believers fail to grow. For some, we're inconsistent because even with good intentions, instead of focusing on Christ, we look around at all the other people. And maybe with good intentions, we're trying to imitate Joe Christian over here. Here's a Christian that I really admire. I want to be like him. And so if Joe doesn't go to the movies, I don't go to the movies. If Joe wears a certain kind of clothing, then that's what a Christian does, and I'll try to be like Joe. And you know, eventually, you're going to find that Joe is going to let you down. You're going to discover the cracks in his armor. You're going to discover that Joe has feet of clay. And you're going to discover maybe he's more mature than you are, and you're not able to live on that level. How much better to focus on Jesus Christ and abide in Him and keep our eyes on the Lord. That's the position, that's the condition where spiritual growth takes place. Others are inconsistent because they just jump from church to church. Somebody steps on my toes here, I'm going to another church. Somebody steps on my toes there, I'll go to another church. And they splash around from all these different theological systems, and they don't have any good theological system to rest upon. All they've got is tidbits of Christian information from all different perspectives, and it doesn't fit together, and they go on confused for the rest of their life. Growth doesn't take place in that condition. Some believers start off like a fireball. They get saved and they're all on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they go with a fury and they pour themselves totally into it. And a few months later, they just burned out. They just can't keep up with that pace. You know, spiritual growth isn't rapid. It takes the rest of our lives. Some believers have a charismatic approach to spiritual growth. And they view the Christian life as if the Christian were a battery. And you come in once a week and you get zapped and charged. And maybe you walk up front and the preacher puts his hand on your head and you shake, and suddenly supernatural power fills you up like a battery and you're charged up till the next charge. But what happens? In the interim, you're on your own as a battery, aren't you? And what does Jesus say a branch can do on its own? Apart from me, ye can do nothing. That's not at all God's plan for spiritual growth. Some believers are inconsistent in their spiritual growth because they live by their feelings. If I feel spiritual today, then I'll serve the Lord and I'll be happy and joyous and get along with everybody. But if I don't feel spiritual, well, maybe I won't go to church next week. Or maybe I'll stay away from that Christian. Or maybe I won't open my Bible. Totally dominated by human feelings. That's the carnal man. The spiritual man doesn't go by his feelings. He goes by the facts of God's Word. And there's a big difference. Consistency is slow, steady progress towards Christ-likeness. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Here's God's method for spiritual growth. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord. We've got our eyes focused upon the glory of the Lord as revealed in the Word of God. And what takes place? It says, as we're focused upon Christ and His glory, we are being changed into that same image. We're being transformed into Christ-likeness from glory to glory. A gradual process of growth. Gradually, slowly, steadily, faithfully, consistently, we grow in the Lord, just like our children physically. You don't have a child and feed him a nice healthy meal, and the next thing you know, you turn around and your four-year-old is 6 feet tall. Then you get another kind of a problem. You'll be working for Demoulas's the rest of your life. God's plan is steady, consistent growth. God's plan for spiritual growth is not for the believer to be like a meteorite flashing out of the sky. He doesn't expect us all to be Christian superstars or anything like that. He wants us simply to be humble, faithful servants with hearts that are yielded and surrendered to Christ so that the Spirit of God can produce fruit through our yielded members. Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're in such a hurry to progress in our Christian life. And as we go on in life, we discover that God is not in a hurry. Time is nothing to the Lord. And it seems sometimes that we get the idea that spiritual growth takes place in a context of words like hurry, busy, work, do, rush. But when we open our Bible, we discover that real spiritual growth takes place in a context of words such as wait, rest, walk, faith, trust. This is God's plan. God wants every one of us not to remain in that condition or that spiritual condition as a carnal believer. But he wants us to be spiritual. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in verse 1, Paul says, brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Paul wanted to communicate truth to these people. He wanted to talk to them on a spiritual level, but they weren't able. They were babes. All they could handle was milk, and what they really needed was meat. Paul is encouraging the church at Corinth to grow up. Stop being babies. Mature in the Lord. And you know, it's very easy to make the transition from a carnal believer to a spiritual believer. The transition from immaturity to maturity takes the rest of our life. But the transition from being a carnal believer, walking in the flesh, to being a spiritual believer, walking in the Spirit, takes just a moment in time. How do we get there? We confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to be convicted in our hearts that my sin is separating me from my Savior, and I hate it. I want fellowship. I want communion. There needs to be a heart that's convicted by the Holy Spirit. And when our heart is convicted of our sin, we need to agree with God. It's evil. I've sinned against my Lord. And we come back. You see, when we confess our sin, then we're able to draw near unto God with a full heart of assurance. We can come back to the throne of grace boldly, knowing that my sins really are gone. They're blotted out. They're buried beneath the sea. As long as we stay away, we wither. But when we come back to the place where we're now plugged into the vine. And God wants us to remain there by faith. We need to know that now that we're abiding in Christ, my sin is confessed. There's nothing between me and my Savior. Now I can know what the Bible says. My old man really is dead. I don't have to sin. And I am a new creature in Christ, and I'm able to walk in newness of life. We have to believe. Now that we're abiding in Christ, walk by faith. Believe what God says. Believe that God is big enough to help even me live a life that's holy and acceptable in His sight. And as Paul wrote to the Romans, surrender. We need to yield our members unto God. And that's what it means to remain there. We get there by confessing our sin and returning back to the place of fellowship and communion, and we remain there by remaining yielded. And that's our number one priority as a Christian in leading the Christian life and growing, is to just maintain that heart attitude of surrender and yieldedness to the Lord. And if something's wrong in my life, if my heart is yielded, God's able to change it. He's able to correct me. There are probably over 1 million things wrong in my life right now. But if I maintain a right attitude and if I'm surrendered to the Lord, then He's able to bring it to my mind, convict my heart, and I can immediately confess it, and I can remain abiding in the Lord. And as we're yielded to Christ, as we abide in Him, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 18, Paul says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Don't be controlled by anything other than, Paul says, the filling of the Holy Spirit. When we're yielded, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. When our heart is right with God, when we're surrendered to Jesus Christ, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We're not waiting to be zapped from heaven. We're not waiting for somebody to touch us on our forehead so our body trembles. We're not waiting for God to do anything. You see, we've already been blessed with everything we already need to live and to grow in Christ. Just remain there, plugged into the vine. And as we are yielded to Christ, the Holy Spirit's going to fill us. He's going to control us. And over time, we'll mature from glory to glory. As we remain there and abide there and keep our heart right with God and right with one another, we're in a place where growth is going to take place gradually and steadily and consistently until Jesus returns. The transition from a carnal state to a spiritual state can take place in a moment. Just confess your sin and get right back to abiding in the Lord. And as we abide, a lifelong process of spiritual growth will take place. It's our responsibility. We have to make a choice. Am I going to live in the power of the flesh, or am I going to live in the power of the Holy Spirit? Am I going to live in such a way as I demand my own way? Oh yeah, I want religion, I want to go to church, but deep down inside I refuse to surrender. Then nothing we do is of any value to God whatsoever, no matter how splendid our talents may be. God requires a heart relationship to Him. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. If we reap to the flesh, if we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap of the flesh corruption, rotten fruit. If we sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap the fruit of the Spirit. God is going to use us. You know, it's a wonderful thing to think that producing spiritual fruit is really God's job. And all I've got to do is yield myself to the Lord, and He can use even me. He can use you. He can use me and you to produce good fruit unto His glory, and that's really what life and service is all about. So Paul was dealing with a cantankerous group of Christians in Corinth, and yet they were really Christian people. They needed to be shaken up. They needed to be stirred up. They needed to be turned from their carnality. They needed to get back with the Lord. And from that position, God could use even the church at Corinth. And you know, as we read 2 Corinthians, Paul was encouraged because the church did just that. They did, overall, turn to the Lord. And it thrilled Paul's heart to see that a transition took place from carnality to spirituality. And that's how growth is going to take place in my life and in yours and as a body. We need to be yielded to Christ. It's as simple as that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that we can know you in a personal way. And we thank you, Lord, that we can grow in Christ. We thank you, Father, that you can produce fruit through our lives. And Father, help each one of us to be totally surrendered. Help us, Lord, to be dependent upon you for our every thought, our every motive, our every word and deed. And Lord, we pray that we might be filled with the Spirit of God and produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives for your glory. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's turn in our hymnals to hymn number 57.